when the offering comes around for the missions, we're going to be helping Brother Rick. He's got a program going down South Carolina, I think it is, and he's going to be, he called me and asked me if we could help him. He's buying some pizza, so we need to help him with that. He can't take that out of his budget. It's going to be around $400, and he don't have that kind of money, so I told him we'd take care of it. He said he'd put it on his card, and we'll pay it before there's any interest. Kleist will, so... As it comes around, keep that in mind. We're going to buy that pizza this week and help him. I knew you guys wouldn't mind that. And Gene Stepp was asking Kleist if they would to visit Mike a little bit and kind of build him up, his spirits, and help him just a little. So we need to keep them in mind and stop by and see them if you can. We're going to get right back on our lesson, kind of where we left off last week. Is the plate gone for mission? Hey, it's coming back, ain't it? Last week we were looking at which these other sections we're not going to spend much time with as we did the first section. The first section on the mysteries, we spent a lot of time up here on the mysteries. Mystery of godliness, the mystery of the Gentiles. But here, maybe a couple of Sundays, because these can run so close together. You'll notice that today, in today's scriptures, if you can see this. You'll notice, and I'll try to point them out, how they run so close together. I mean, you'll see it as we read the scriptures. And we're going to look at today. Last week, we looked at the baptisms. And one of the important things that I was telling you, everybody tries to take the baptism of suffering, Calvary, which we know that, and they try to run all these baptisms together, like the baptism of John. Jesus was baptized by John, before this. Baptism of suffering. Jesus was baptized by John, and like I said, told you last week, if you'll remember, you want the definition of that? What did Jesus say? And what did John say? They give the definition of it, clearly themselves. John said it was to manifest Christ to Israel. And what did Peter tell Israel in Acts chapter 2? You've crucified your Lord, you're dead in sin. And that baptism showed that. And it baptized to, the word we looked at last week, they were baptized to repentance. Right? We're not baptized to repentance. We were baptized spiritually before we were ever baptized physically. The physical baptism that we had is symbolic. And you'll follow these scriptures that's wrote down here. You can see that. So, we looked at those baptisms. Now, today we're going to look at a little bit of the baptism of suffering. And every one of these, Jesus is he's the winner. That's all I can tell you. He's the one that started. The thing will fall right now in a few minutes, ain't it? He started every one of these. Alright, if we look at the mysteries, the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ. The next one, judgments. Sin at Calvary. Christ was judged first at Calvary. He was judged for every Old Testament saint. He was judged for every sin. The scriptures that we talked about a lot about when we were talking about that was God hath made him to be sin for us. He was judged for us. All right? And then the resurrections, Christ the first fruits. That needs an S on it. I've told you there's some misspell things and things down here. That needs an S. This is plain as day right there. Because he's not the first fruit. He's the first fruits. He's first of these fruits. All right, I'll leave that till I can correct it. But I want you to look at these things as we go through. Christ, the first fruit. Now, let's turn to, I was going to go in Matthew and Mark and show his resurrection. And we're all familiar with that and those scriptures. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians 15. Romans chapter 1. Get there myself here. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All right. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. These scriptures we've read many times in this class, all of them. But to see them put together like this, to me, it's just amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's see where I'll start. Let's start in verse 20, around verse 20. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see that S? That's plural. He's the first fruits. If he hadn't have come forth first, then the rest of us wouldn't have come. And the scriptures that we may not look at them today, but in 1 Corinthians 15:23, we'll look at this. In Ephesians 4:8-12, the Old Testament saints. He's the first fruits, and brother, after he come up, they come up, didn't they? And some of them was seen walking in the streets. They even visited people. That's, man, you talk about Halloween. Could you imagine? People actually saw them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. See, there's more resurrections. Christ is the first fruits. And then we have the what? We have the rapture. Paul said, I show you a mystery. And you see how all this here, and these by sevens, and you see how these, the green represents the Gentiles, the bride of Christ, this dispensation we're in. And at that rapture, the graves are going to open just like they did the Old Testament saints come up. And the New Testament saints are going up. Now, I don't know how much, you know, visiting they'll be doing, but now, let's look at, if I can find where I want to go here. I got so many places. Ephesians 4:8-12. We'll spend some time here. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that also he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. He's the first fruits. So when you're looking at Gentiles here, this is so critical in understanding your Bible. We have so many churches that are not rightly dividing the Word of God. They're taking these scriptures, you know, there's a resurrection of Israel. And what people will say is the church has replaced Israel. Won't they? It's a big statement. And the church has replaced Israel, so they'll try to combine all of these. It don't work. It's clear that it don't work. Now, I want you to, let's just look at, oh, this is all so good. I don't know where. Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2 right now. We're going to look at it spiritual. I see right off the bat, I'm going to have to spend some time here. This takes some time. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. Now we have a spiritual resurrection. We're not waiting. How many times have I told this class? We're not, good people will take the hope of righteousness and turn it into the hope of salvation. No, the hope of righteousness is a glorified body. And that's what it is. And that's what we hope for. We're not hoping to be saved. We are in Christ. We're not hoping for nothing. But if you don't put these scriptures in the places where they go, that's why you're rightly dividing the word of God. So look here in verse 1 of chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead, and you needed a spiritual resurrection. Amen? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're dealing with a spirit. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I want you to watch the past, the present, and the future here. This is past. This verse, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Present, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You see that? We're risen from the dead with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you read Ephesians and the church in chapters 1 through 2, I've taught it in this class, those heavenly places, that's where we're at, in heavenly places. We're seated where? In Christ. So we have a spiritual resurrection. And we have a spiritual baptism. I'm not taking away from water baptism, but if you think you got saved through water baptism, Lord help you. You're not, see the Jew was baptized into repentance. And then he received, according to Acts 2:38, he received the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized, we received the Holy Spirit as a seal when we accepted the Lord as our Savior. Amen. You have to separate these. Churches are not rightly dividing the Word of God. They're not separating these scriptures. Why? Because of old Slewfoot over here, mystery of iniquity. See how close these run together? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Gentiles, the mystery of the Gentiles is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said that's a mystery. The mystery of the body is the church. Paul compared the body to a man and his wife and said they're one flesh. And he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Then you got the mystery of the rapture. If you've had a spiritual, I make old children, if you've had a spiritual resurrection and you're in Christ, you're going out of here.
Amen.
There ain't a thing you can do about it. And you know there's spiritual judgments just as well. When we take communion, Paul said, if you judge yourself, you need not be judged. Hey, it's a judgment seat of Christ. If we'd use the self-judgment here and judge ourselves a little bit, it'd be a whole lot easier on us, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure would.
But you know, we, all of us, we have a tendency to see other people's problems. We don't judge ourselves. I'm the world's worst. I had to remind myself of that just this morning, just yesterday. I'm watching somebody else and saying, my goodness. And then I think, well, what are you doing? You're just as bad. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. Just tell me that. What's the difference in you? Self-judgment. We have a resurrections. Jesus was the first fruits. That needs an S. He's the first one to come up. And what did that do? That entitled us to go with him. And he said, and then what? The rest at his coming. Them Old Testament saints were down there in Abraham's bosom. But that just wasn't the only place he went. No, sir. He just didn't go down there and preach in Abraham's bosom and come up. Read Jonah. Read what David said about being under the bills. Why? Because of the judgments, judgment of sin at Calvary. That cup that we was reading in Revelation chapter 17, say he drank that cup. That cup of hey, as I can't get away from it. I use it every Sunday, but we need to, I believe. We think of Calvary. And we think of Roman soldiers and whips. That is part of it. And they were brutal. But you see, he could have walked away from that just as easy as he walked away from those Pharisees and Sadducees and all of them that had him with the arm and was going to go down there and cast him over the mountain. And he walked right away from them just to disappear out of their sight. He said he could have called legions of angels. He could have. He could have called legions and set himself free. But God made, according to Isaiah 53, his soul an offering for sin. Now folks, I understand clearly the brutality of a Roman crucifixion, but can you imagine the brutality of the wrath of God? When he drank that bitter cup. When he cried in that garden. And as it says in Psalms 22, my God, why art thou so far from me? So far from helping me. See, he was judged for our sin. That's why when these judgments take place, he's given us an opportunity in this time. Everyone is going to face judgment. Every one of us is going to face judgment. He was judged for our sin. But we're going to be judged according to our works of what sort it is. You know, I understand quantity may be a little bit important. But Lord knows that scripture, and I won't go look them up. I don't have time. It's not quantity. It's quality. Of what we'll be judged of what sort it is. Why did you do what you done? And if we would judge ourselves, we could take care of a lot of that. Why? Because he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Self-judgment. I lost my place here, but let's go back and look at some more. But, all right, let's, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now here's your future. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. You know, in reality, we'll be judged on how Christ has worked through us, how we've allowed that to happen. All right. Let's look at some other places here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Now, I want you to see this. Were you baptized into Jesus Christ? You know, the United Church of Christ, now I'm not picking names here to throw off on people. I hope I made that clear. Now, when Jesus said over in Revelation 17 and 18, the Lord said, come out of her, my people. Did he not? He has people in these churches. Knowing this, all right, let me go back and read. What was I at? Six, what? I tell you three? All right, right. Let's start reading in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We have a spiritual resurrection. We died to this old man and been spiritually raised, and we're in Christ Jesus. So why should we follow the flesh? Know ye not that so many of us, now watch this clearly, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, was that water? Ask yourself that question. Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. What is that one baptism then? Is it water baptism? Absolutely not. It is a spiritual baptism. Know ye not that so many of us who as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now he's going to go on and talk about a resurrection of there. But look here. We have a spiritual baptism right there. Seven baptisms. One of them is spiritual. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. And we have a spiritual resurrection. We're resurrected in Jesus Christ. And also, here it is. That's the mystery of the Gentiles. The mystery of the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of the church is the body that we're baptized into Jesus. That's how we're one body. This is all spiritual. And a preacher will give you, I've had it happen. I've had people talk to me and say, well, now when you were baptized, you come into contact with that blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. That thief never got baptized, did he? Right. But they'll use these scriptures without rightly dividing the word of God. They'll take the gifts over here that were given to Israel in a transition period and try to place them in this church over here. That don't work either. It don't fit. You've got this chart at home. You look, if you get a scripture that's troubling, see where it'll fit. I guarantee you some of them won't fit in here. They just won't. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. we'll read these scriptures later. We'll talk about this some more. But you see, folks, how these are just so entwined together. And how they deal with this dispensation of time and green. That we're baptized, that we have a mystery, which is Christ in us. And we're Christ's body. That's a mystery. We're all in here different. But we're all his body. That's a great mystery. Paul said it was. He said, but I speak of Christ in the church. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ in the church. And we're baptized into him with a spiritual baptism. Colossians chapter 2. Remind me to read that before we leave. But I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 15 right now. And verse 23. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see that? What is that? If you were dead and buried with him, then you had a spiritual resurrection. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits and afterward that are Christ at his coming. Now, Ephesians 4, I don't know, have I been there yet? I don't think I have. I've read that one. Okay. Let me go back now to Colossians chapter 2. We've been to this place so many times in this class. But it plays right back into the lessons so many times. The Jews had a physical circumcision in the Old Testament, didn't they? The Jews had a physical circumcision. And I've told you many times in this class, I wondered what for years. Then I was reading behind a preacher one time and I thought, well, man, what a good point. He said it's because you had a problem in your seed. Man was born in sin. Israel was in sin. So Israel had a spiritual circumcision. But Christ also was circumcised. Christ also was baptized. Why was Christ baptized? Remember at the beginning of the class I told you, when you're looking at the baptism of John and say Baptists go all the way back to John the Baptist, then that baptism has nothing to do with us. John the Baptist, what did John say? John said he said, I baptized to manifest Christ to Israel unto repentance. Jesus said, I was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He wasn't a sinner. He didn't go down in the water and wash away his sin. You might not agree with everything I say, but look at the way the scriptures are divided. Colossians chapter 2. Now let's look at this. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Thank you, brother. That's what's going on in a lot of churches, is traditions of men and not the Bible. Not teaching and preaching the Bible, but teaching and preaching traditions of men. I participated I'm going to skip that. I got to remember I got this thing on sometimes. But it's the traditions of men. A lot of these things are, and we made baptism the tradition of men. infant baptism. Show me one place in the Old Testament or the New Testament where a baby was baptized. Show me one. They were circumcised the eighth day. Jesus was circumcised. Why was he baptized? Because he was numbered among the transgressors. Them transgressors come down to that river to confess their sins and be baptized. And Jesus was numbered among them to fulfill all righteousness. But brother, we have a spiritual resurrection. We have a spiritual baptism. We're baptized into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How? Through God himself. Watch this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that's so important to this circumcision right here he's going to talk about. I can't get over these scriptures. If a man took this chapter in Colossians and preached it, he could preach it the rest of his life. There's no doubt in my mind. He could do that. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he's circumcised from God. He's cut off. When he became flesh, he was cut off from deity at his death for a short while there. He paid the ultimate penalty for sin. And this old world rocked and reeled, buddy. Them Roman soldiers, yeah, they beat his back. And they was terrible on him. But God poured that cup of wrath on him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. In him now. See, that's a mystery too. Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. How were we circumcised made without hands? The Holy Spirit cut us loose from this old fleshly body and put us in Christ. We have a spiritual resurrection. All right? In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of Christ. When he was 8 days old? That was to fulfill the law. When he died and was circumcised and cut off from deity. God, my God, why art thou so far from helping me and from my roaring? You see, when he prayed in that garden, let this cup pass from me, study that cup. It ain't just Calvary. He's done walked away from death. We looked at that. He walked away from it. They couldn't even find him. They got him with the arms, and boom, he's gone. But brother, God made him to be sin. I just can't get over it. Now watch this. This is contained in all of these mysteries right here. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was manifest, and he was judged for our sin. And he rose again, and he was baptized with a baptism of suffering. All for us, and all for everybody. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins. You see that? Of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He was cut off. Go read your Bible and read your prophecies in the Old Testament. He was cut off. He was numbered among the transgressors. He come and showed himself that way. But God made him to be sin. And he paid an ultimate penalty. All right. Now watch this. Buried with him in baptism. Were we buried with him in baptism when we went down into the water? No. But brethren, in the foreknowledge of God, when he was baptized and went down under and become that wrath of God, we were baptized into his death. And we're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. How can any man stand in any pulpit in America and proclaim works for salvation? I don't care what it is. It's blasphemy. Folks, it's big. It's, don't get mad at me, but it's blasphemy. When you trample on what God has went through, how he was made to be sin for us, how deity was cut loose, and you say, I have to do this? No. I'm going to read one verse in just a minute. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. We have a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection with through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. That operation means just what it said. Operation. Where do you think surgery come from? Why do you call it when you go get at the doctor and they get operate on you? Cut you. Man was cut loose. And God did it all. And we can't even see the least little bit of it. Just the least little bit of it. So I think, let's see. We have a spiritual death, a spiritual burial, a spiritual resurrection, and the rapture. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a mystery. And he says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Last prayer in the Bible. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Brother, just as sure as you're in him, you've got a spiritual baptism, a spiritual resurrection, and you're in the church, baptized by the faith of the operation of God, our prayer should be the last prayer in the Bible. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the hope of righteousness. And get that glorified body. Amen. But people, the churches will take that scripture, the hope of righteousness, and when Ephesians chapter 8, or Romans chapter 8 defines it, to wit, the redemption of our body. Adoption. To wit, the redemption of our body. See, we are redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's all through him. Amen. And you see how all these played together as we went through this today? You see how they just link right up together? When you have a problem with a verse, if Acts 2:38 gives you a problem, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and then receive the Holy Spirit, and you hear somebody preaching that, where will that fit? It'll fit perfect over here under Israel. But it sure won't fit under here. Because old jailer said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. Believe. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, and thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray.